We're going to finish up our study, A Guide to Studying the Bible, Layman's Guide to Studying the Bible. This has, I hope, been helpful for you. We're going to finish this up today, Lord willing, and then move on to something else for the rest of the month. Proverbs chapter number 1. Then we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to cover all of the 10 points real quickly, give you 10 steps. And if you'll incorporate these things into your daily Bible time, remember what I said, it doesn't take a lot of time to study the Bible. If you do a little every day, it's amazing over the course of a year what you will have learned. If you're in the habit of reading the Bible, I pray that this has helped equip you to take a step forward and to begin to study the Bible, not just read the Bible, but also study the Bible. And so I hope this has been a help and a blessing. Let's read Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, equity, and to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of counsel, even getting counseling as you're studying the Bible. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and teach today. Lord, I ask for help. I pray, Lord, that you give my voice strength throughout the day, that you'd help me, Lord, to be able to use the tool that you've given me to do what I need to do today. And, Lord, we do want to pray for the buses that are still out. Be with them. Thank you for this Bible study. I pray, Lord, as we redirect our energies to a different subject beginning next Sunday, that this would not be something, Lord, that we would soon forget. If we would just incorporate this just a little bit at a time, day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, help us, Lord, to become a people of the book, and, Lord, to not just read, but to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just quickly, I'm going to give you all 10 steps, and then we'll just review quickly, and then I want to spend a little time on step number 7. 8, 9, and 10 is pretty self-explanatory, but let me review real quickly. I've challenged you now for several weeks to begin to study the Bible. Begin to study the Bible. Now, how do you do that? Number one, you enlist the help of a tutor. The Holy Spirit is the tutor that's been given to you, in you, to help teach you the Word of God. And so number one, enlist the help of a tutor. Always before you begin your Bible reading time, your Bible study time, bow your head, ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach you spiritual things. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Step two, spend time gathering knowledge. We're talking about selecting a subject, doing a word study. You'll need a good Bible, and you'll need a good Bible concordance. Use a King James Bible. Just use a King James Bible. So, Brother Jerry, why? Well, I've got a different type of Bible. And, for instance, most popular Bible as far as that's being sold today on the market is the NIV. If you want to see me afterwards and you have an NIV, I can challenge you to look up 17 verses in the NIV that when you try to find them, won't be there. I didn't say they changed it. I didn't say they took it out. I didn't say they cut it down. I'm talking about you'll look at a chapter and it'll say verse 8, 9, 10, 12. Gone. Now that's not what they've done to the other verses. We won't even get into that. But you know what? That ought to be enough to just say, I think I'll just get me a King James Bible. They took 17 verses. Some brainiac decided that 17 verses of the Bible weren't, he'd just take them out. Just get a King James Bible. Amen. The King James Bible gets you a good concordance, and those are the tools you'll need. Spend time gathering knowledge. We taught you how to use a concordance. Number three, rightly divide the information. Now remember, once you get all of what the Bible has to say about a subject in front of you, then you want to ask certain questions. Who, what, where, when, and how? Who is this verse written by and to? what am I to do, where am I to do this, when am I to do this, and how will it benefit me? It's amazing how many times when you study something, one of the things you'll see over and over again is that God rewards us for our obedience. And so step three, rightly divide the information. Number four, step four, define Bible words that are unfamiliar. And again, we taught you how to use a Greek and Hebrew dictionary that's in the back of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And if you'll do that, that'll sometimes help clarify some verses, or I'm sorry, some words that might be a bit unfamiliar to you. Number five, compare verses. This is what we talked about. Remember, the Bible never contradicts itself, but instead completes itself. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so compare verses, and comparing spiritual things to spiritual things, you'll get clarity as far as what things mean. Step six, we spent some time not only talking about this, but we actually challenge you to do a word study on this, and that is the importance of meditating on the verses. I believe this is where the Holy Spirit has the greatest opportunity to teach us. If there's something that is unclear to you, pray and ask for Him to guide you. Now, meditation is very important. I preached a message Friday night. Was it Friday night? Friday night. And I was asked by a group of independent fundamental Baptist churches in Indianapolis. I drove to the northeast side of Indianapolis. There was about 22 or 3 churches there, 300 teenagers. They do a monthly rally, and I went up there and preached to them. The message I preached, God gave me, because there was a portion of a story, one of the miracles in the Bible, that I didn't understand. And there were some verses that never made sense to me, and I jotted them down on a 3x5 card and carried them around with me for a while and said, Holy Spirit, you know, here's a great thing. If you'll get this, it'll change the way you read the Bible. How many of you truly, truly, truly believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? And is profitable. I'm sick and tired of people trying to tell me that there are certain parts of the Bible that no longer apply to us. Well, my Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all of it's profitable. And so God didn't write a book and then say, man, that's too small. Mankind's not going to be impressed by that book, so I better put a bunch of filler in there and make it a bigger book. So I'll just fill it up with a bunch of nonsense and filler. No, every word, every phrase, every verse, we can profit in some way from every part of the Bible. And so probably the greatest advice I could give us as far as our contact with the Bible is slow down. Slow down. Stop blowing by verses you don't understand. Stop blowing by phrases you don't understand. Yeah, but I got to get my check mark. I'm trying to get through the Bible in a year. I'm not sure God is concerned about how much of the Bible you read is how much you really get. And so slow down. That's what study is all about. I'm all for you. By the way, read. I don't just read. Whether you get it all or not, read. But that's why it's not only important just to read the Bible, but also to study the Bible. Slow down and start saying, what is the Bible saying? And because I was willing to do that, because I meditated on those verses, the Holy Spirit taught me one of the greatest truths I ever learned, probably the sermon I've preached that's helped more people. And the reason is just because I decided I don't understand that. God is there for a reason. I want to find out what that reason is. Holy Spirit, teach me. And not only was I helped, but I've been able to help others with that. Okay? So meditation, so important. Now, step seven is what we're going to talk about today. Seek wise counsel. So I'll skip over that. We'll get back to it. Step eight, make personal application of the truths you have learned. The Bible is designed to change us. I've said this often. God is not impressed by how much Bible you know, but how much of it you live. God's not impressed with how much of the Bible you know, but how much of it you live. Never forget, knowledge that is gathered but not applied will rot and stink like day-old man. I apologize for sipping on something hot while I'm teaching, but I'm probably going to make it through the day if I don't. The vocal cords are strained and a little bit of a head cold. I feel like I'm talking out of a barrel. Does it sound like I'm talking out of a barrel? I feel like I am, so... knowledge that is gathered but not applied will rot and stink like day-old manna. If you're unwilling to apply the wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches you, He will cease to teach you wisdom. You know, and again, I think the saddest people in the world are theologians that are locked away in some room, spend their entire life studying the Bible so they can teach it, but never really let it change them personally. And we can do that as church members. Preachers can do that. Pastors, I mean, you know what? My increased time that I have, that most of you will never have, to study the Bible just increases my responsibility. The more I learn, the more I'm accountable for. We tell our young people around here, you know, who much is given, much is will be required. And you're in a good Bible preaching, folks, you're in a good Bible preaching church. You know, I've often said, if anybody ever leaves this church, whether it was under the pastor you have now or the previous pastor, anybody ever leave this church and say, well, I left because I wasn't getting fed, is a liar. If they weren't getting fed, it's because they weren't opening their mouth. You know, honestly, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's the focal point of this church. Is the ministry is to teach the Bible and preach the Bible, and we don't shirk that responsibility. Now, the more we do that, the more you're accountable to God for. So, application of the truths learned. And if you don't do that, pretty soon the Holy Spirit will stop teaching you wisdom if you're not willing to apply it. All right, step 9, keep a notebook. Keep a notebook. I did this on purpose, but I brought a notebook that's... how old am I? I brought a notebook that is probably 28, 29 years old. It's just a notebook. And I've got a bunch of these. And this notebook is filled with Bible study principles that I dug out when I was probably 20, 21, 22, somewhere right in there. And matter of fact, I'm going to teach. And again, I've redone this. I've restudied this several times since. But I'm going to teach today. I did it on purpose. I picked it up. I'm going to teach today. Principles on counseling and the importance of receiving counsel that I studied out years ago and I jotted down in the notebook. Now, I believe this. If you're going to study the Bible, keep a notebook. If you study a subject, put all the time and effort into it, man, write it down somewhere. Have a resource. Because later on you're going to think, you know what, boy, I did a study on that and I'd like to reference that. Keep a notebook. And over the course of your life, you ought to have volumes of material. And Brother Jerry, no, you're not talking to preachers. I know I'm not. I'm talking to people that are saved and people who have been commanded to study the Bible. And so keep a notebook. Be very, very good and helpful for you. Write down the principles you've been taught. Review them often. Remember, they are more precious than rubies, more important than silver and gold. And they will mean more to you because you did the work. Step number 10, be thankful. Praise the Lord and thank Him for His Word, His blessed Holy Spirit that teaches you His Word, and for the wisdom that He gives you. Now, I think God always likes to thank you. And if you study the Bible and God gives you some things that change your life, at the end of every session that you have studying the Bible, you ought to bow your head and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for opening up the secrets of the Bible to me. Help me to take these things and implement them in my life. Help me to change because of what I've seen, what you've taught me. So that's it. Enlist the help of the tutors. Spend time gathering knowledge. Rightly divide the information. Define Bible words that are unfamiliar. Compare verses. Meditate on these verses. Seek wise counsel. Make personal application of the truths you have learned. The Bible is designed to change us. And then step 9, keep a notebook. Step 10, be thankful. And if you implement these steps into your life, God will bless you. Now, seek wise counsel. Let's talk a little bit about that, Brother Jerry. How does that fit in to studying the Bible? Let me just say this: if you are beginning in the stages of studying the Bible, and there's parts of it that you've studied and you still are not understanding, you ought to ask somebody for some help. Most men of God enjoy helping a young person, or any person for that matter, discover the truths of the Scriptures. There's people that have spent their life studying the Bible. We have a great resource here. We are blessed to have Pastor Robert Ross sitting every single day in our congregation. Let me just say this. If you are studying something and you need some insight, he's done it a couple years. I'll just almost guess that what you're trying to figure out, he knows. You know, some of the greatest resources in the world sit all around us. And you know what? If we're not careful, day in, day out, we just go our own way. And so that would be great, you see. I also say this too. Also beware of never before discovered truth. You know, if you're studying along and all of a sudden, shazam, look, something nobody has ever found in the Bible, and I'm the first one to find it. Probably not. I'm not saying that the Lord won't show you something new to you, but if it's a new doctrine that is in opposition to tried and true doctrines of the Bible that you've been taught, just before you go out and decide to write a book on it, you might want to get some counsel. Because a lot of times there's qualifying verses that you may not have considered that gives great insight to the verse or group of verses that you're looking at. And just be careful about that. Okay? And so that's why getting counsel is good. Often young Bible students miss qualifying truths from related scriptures. Somebody that's already studied the Bible, studied that subject, and you're all excited. You know, I think this means this. And they'll say, let me just show you a few more passages that might shed a more light on that, and that might temper what you would believe. Now, counsel. Well, I'm not sure we do enough of this. Counseling and seeking counsel, is what that means is simply seeking understanding, sharing of some knowledge, borrowing of some knowledge. Counsel, of course, falls in all kinds of areas. That's why I think we ought to have a multitude of counselors, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But let me talk to you specifically about the importance of seeking counsel as you study the Bible. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Let me say this. Seeking counsel and the willingness to seek counsel is a mark of wisdom. Let me take it a step further. To seek counsel is to be wise. To never seek counsel is to be a fool. Say, well, brother, here you have Bible to support that. I told you I studied this. I just don't pull these things out of the hat. People that never seek counsel, the book of Proverbs labels them, that's a mark of foolishness. God has put around you people that have more knowledge in a lot of areas, and you need to humble yourself at times and go sit down at somebody that knows more than you do and say, give me some insight. I'm trying to make this decision. I need some insight. I'm studying this in the Word of God. I'm confused about it. I need help in this area. I had a young man just this week sit down and very honest, very candid with his preacher and said, I'm going to just tell you, I'm struggling in the area. Is there something you can give me to help me? And I was able to give him some of the Word of God and some Bible principles. And he caught me this morning and said, Brother Gary, what you shared with me the other day has helped me. I've really had a successful week this week in that area of my life. I said, praise the Lord. Now, you know, there's help available. There's help available. I think Brother Tony said something very, very important last night. Don't miss this. He said, you know, if we're not careful, all we want to do is just walk around trying to convince ourselves and everybody else that we're fine when we're not fine. So if I ask for help in that admitting that I've got a problem, that's probably our biggest problem. We're too proud to admit we've got a problem. You know, if you're struggling in an area, honestly, get some counsel. Get some wise counsel. Ladies, I'm a firm believer in Titus chapter number 2. I think God's given us some godly elder women in this church that you ought to access what they've spent a lifetime accumulating. You ought to do it. If somebody comes to you for counsel, give them godly counsel. Please give them scriptural counsel. and we'll cover that in just a second. Let me have you look at a couple more verses. Chapter number 1, if you look at verse number 20, it says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttered her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, and will mock when your fear cometh." Isn't it interesting that God says counsel is available? You wouldn't have any of it. Then you get in trouble. This may seem cruel to you, but God says when you get into that predicament, you could have got help. You refused to get it. You were too arrogant. You were too proud. He said, "I'll laugh at your calamity." Well, that doesn't seem very nice. Well, I don't think God likes being ignored. God says, "I've got the answers. If you'd humble yourself, that you could get them." And then, why? Notice this. It said, when your fear, look at verse 27, "When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." And here God tried to give somebody counsel, tried to give them some reproof, tried to help them. You know what? They laughed. They set it at naught. They ignored it. And then they get in trouble. And guess what God says? Well, now let me say this. What God is saying by putting these words down in black and white in front of us is this. It's a wise thing to get counsel. It's a foolish thing not to get counsel. Chapter number 12, if you look in Proverbs chapter number 12. Look at verse number 15. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Man, I'd underline that. I might highlight that. I might circle that. If you always think that you are right and you don't need anybody else's input, the Bible says you're a fool, because the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Well, I don't need to ask anybody. I know the right thing to do. Wow. Man, just let me touch the hem of your garment a little bit later on, okay? Maybe some of your great virtue will spill onto me. No, you're just proud and arrogant. I don't think there's a week of my life that goes by where I don't ask counsel from somebody. And you haven't in a year? By the way, how's things going? Now, the honest truth is, we just got way too much pride in us. And counseling is something that God is made available for us. And so, remember these verses. Aren't these powerful? Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse number 20. Now, the purpose of counsel is to gain wisdom, to gain clarification. Brother Jerry, how does this fit in with Bible study? When you're studying the Word of God, and you've done a study, and you've got the principles, and you're about to make application, and you're about to change your entire life based on what you believe the Scripture says, I think you might want to make sure and be sure that that's what the Scripture says, if you're going to make that type of a change. A lot of things are cut and dried. I'm not saying every little thing you'll have to run and get counsel on, but if there's something that you're unsure about, you ought to talk to somebody that has spent a lifetime studying the Bible and get some clarification on it. This is a beautiful verse. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end," and that's the purpose of it. So, why should I get counsel? To seek counsel is to be wise. To never seek counsel is to be foolish. Now, I wanted to read three verses to you real quickly. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. And we're going to mostly stay in Proverbs. We're going to limit our study of the importance of counsel in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 11, if you'll look at verse number 4. 14. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Let me give you a second great truth. Why should I get counsel? Because that's where you'll get wisdom. Why should I get counsel? If you never seek counsel, you'll constantly fail. You're going to constantly fail. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where no counsel is, the people what? If F-A-L-L, fall. But in a multitude of counselors, they're safe. Let me tell you, the young people around here that are always spiritually stumbling and tripping and skinning up their knees, the ones that think they know everything, the ones that's too humble to listen to mom and dad and go to mom and dad and say, I need some advice. I need to know what I should do about this. The ones that are too proud to ever come to the grandma and grandpa and say, you've got a lifetime experience. I need some advice about this. You know, the ones that never stop the preacher and ask him anything. You know, because that the Bible says that where no counsel is, the people fall. We'll talk about this in a minute, but it goes on to say, but in the multitude of counsel is there is safety. Proverbs 15:22. If you flip over there, 15:22. Notice this, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So if I want to try something and fall, if I don't get counsel, I'll probably try something and I'm going to fall. If I don't get counsel, I'm going to have purposes that I want to accomplish, and you know what? I'm going to be disappointed. And so people who don't get counsel fail a lot. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Notice this. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. And I really mean this, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it, or that. But I will tell you this. I get counsel. I talk to a lot of people. If I'm going to start a war, I want to talk to some warriors. I'd like to talk to some generals. I'd like to talk to some men that have fought some wars and won some wars. Okay? And so, if you never seek counsel, the end result is not only are you being foolish, but you're going to fail a lot. You're just going to fail. You're going to try to accomplish things. Your purposes are going to be disappointed. Please listen. If you're going to come in and get counsel, listen to it. You know, I'd almost rather you not come in if you're just going to come in and ignore. See, I found out pretty early in my Christian life, and especially in the ministry, is that there's some people that want counsel and there's some people that want counseling. Some people that want counsel and there's some people that want counseling. You know what counseling is? Counseling is they want to spend time with the preacher. But really, they're not there to get counsel. They're there to convince the preacher why what they're doing and what they want to do is the right thing. And if he starts to challenge it, they just keep working on him and working on him and working on him. Finally, he smiles and shakes their hand and says, you know what? God bless you. I'll be praying for you. And you go out and do what you're going to do, and then you fail. And, well, I went and got counsel. No, you went and engaged in counseling. Matter of fact, you spent more time trying to tell me what I should be thinking about this than listening to what I had to say about it. And kids are like that with their parents sometimes. Okay? If you've already predetermined that you're going to do something, then don't come in just to get my stamp of approval on it. Listen to what I've got to say. Listen to what the Scripture has to say about it. And, I'm just going to keep talking and talking until the preacher changes his mind. You know what I'll do? Eventually I'll just say, listen, if that's what you feel like you ought to do, then go ahead. And when you walk out, I'll think, well, they'll be back. Now, honestly, if you're not going to listen, don't ask. You know, I've got some things to do. I really do. I'll take time to meet with anybody that'll work with me and work with my schedule a little. I'll make some time. But don't waste time. Yeah, I'm 47. I got one foot in the grave. I don't have a lot of time to waste right now. All right. So, all right. Honestly, I mean that. You know, we just need to have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Okay. Now, let me give you, I think, the most important reason that you ought to get counsel. You ought to get counsel because we are emotional people. And because of our emotions, our judgment can be affected. Wise counsel is a safety net. It's a safety net. In Proverbs chapter number 11, just a second ago, let me just flip back to what we read, verse 14, Proverbs 11, 14, and we read, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counsels, here's a wonderful phrase, there is safety. See, a lot of times, I'm pretty sure I know that what I'm doing is the right thing, but I go ahead and get some counsel just to be safe. Just to be safe. And so I would say this, honestly, probably 90% of the time when a Christian comes to me, if they've given some prayer and thought into it, and you know, all I do is just affirm that, yes, you know what, I don't see anything biblically wrong with what you're pointing there, and good, great, sounds good. Honestly, probably 9 out of 10 times, it's just a safety thing. Yeah, that sounds good. No, I don't see a problem with that. Go ahead. Amen. Yeah, I can't think of anything in the Word of God that would stand in the way of that. Go for it. You know. So it's just safety. I'd say most of the time when I'm getting counsel, it's not a matter of spending hours and hours tying up somebody's time and, hey, I got a quick question. Man, I just want to make sure I'm seeing it right. This is the situation. This is what I was going to do. I'm really open. If you see anything, let me know. No, you know what? That sounds good, and I think you're right on target. Okay, I just, you know what? Just safety. Just safety. Proverbs, I read it, I think, a minute ago, Proverbs 24 and verse 6. It says, For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in a multitude of counselors there's safety. And again, we have safety. Now, let me read a couple more, have you go to a couple more places. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Let's flip over there and look. This may be one of the most important things I'm going to share with you. One of the most important reasons to get counsel. Proverbs chapter 19, if you will, look at verse number 20. Notice this, it says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Now we read that, but look at verse 21. Isn't it interesting how this ties together? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Notice this, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And you know, the honest truth is, our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things, who can know it? There's many devices in the heart of a man. Now that heart is speaking of what? Those of you that have studied this and been taught this, the heart is the seat of the... There's many devices in the heart of a man. Our emotions are very complex and complicated. When you get feelings involved in something, it's amazing what you can talk yourself in and out of. You know, have you ever been trying to make a decision and you know what? You can't even get to the point where you agree with yourself about it. You know, you get up one day and you think you got it settled, and then you get up the next day and next thing you know, you've talked yourself into the opposite thing. And that's why the Bible says this. It says that there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What counsel does is help you. You see, if you're emotionally involved in a situation and you're trying to make a decision about it, if you go to counsel somebody who is not emotionally invested in it, then you know what? They don't have the same conflict that you do. So they can put a fresh set of eyes on it. They don't have a lot of emotion involved in it. They can present Bible principles. That's the counsel of the Lord. Here's the Bible principles. And that will help you and be a safety net for you, because we have to be so careful and so cautious as far as our emotions getting us confused. Go to Proverbs chapter 28, if you will. I'm going to say a couple things, because I'm going to try to shoot down one of the biggest lies of the devil. If you listened to most of the, and I hate to say rock music, because a lot of it, here's what sometimes people say. Roger, I don't listen to rock and roll music, but I just listen to an easy listening station. The music's not overly rockish. You know what's more damaging than the music? The philosophies that you are allowing yourself to be brainwashed with. It was a very popular song that came out many, many years ago. I don't ever listen to it, but Brother Reiser told me about it. But it's entitled, Listen to Your Heart. And I will tell you this, that theme, it's not that one song. That theme of that song has been reproduced in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of very similar songs that teach the same philosophy, whether it's country western, whether it's easy listening, that basically says nobody else can make a decision for you. Nobody else knows how you feel. You need to trust your heart, follow your heart, listen to your heart. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a zillion songs in the last 40, 50 years that have just pounded that idea and that philosophy into our young people, and they get around, they listen to this stuff. Pretty soon they get this haughty attitude that, you know what, nobody knows what I feel, and they can't, you know, they don't understand, they can't feel what I'm feeling. Now, I'm going to give you this. Proverbs chapter 28, and if you'll look, please, at verse 26, it says this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a... How come no one's ever wrote that song? How come I can't find that on the country western station? How come that's never on an easy listening station? You know, somebody's singing, you know, if you listen to your heart, you're stupid. You're an idiot. You're trusting your emotion. You're about to mess your life up. No, the devil's not going to write a song like that. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Are we taping this? I want to make sure I get that copyrighted. So. You think there's a station in the world that's going to play that or publish that? Or you know why? Because it goes against the devil's philosophy. You show me somebody that gets emotionally involved, emotionally invested, and emotionally stubborn, and walk around with this, you know what, nobody can tell me, you don't know how I feel. No, yeah, you're the first person in the world to ever been in that situation. Nobody's ever faced that before. And the Bible doesn't say a thing about it. Yeah, just go with your emotions, you'll probably be all right. No, you're not. You're going to be a disaster. And so, honestly, what I'm saying is this. Now, parents, listen to me. Husbands, listen to me. Wives, listen to me. You know what? You get a family involved, and you're talking about high energy emotions. That's why you're wise to get counsel. If you're emotionally invested and involved in a situation, and you're about to make a decision, you ought to get counsel. Because the devices in the heart of man, I'm telling you, it is. We are complex in that area. Emotions. If you're not careful, I'm talking about emotions like excitement. You ever just got an idea and got excited about it? And man, you're so excited and so pumped about it, and that excitement, that emotion of excitement just makes you want to rush forward and do it. Then you go get counsel, and man, by the time you get done getting all this counsel, you're almost mad at the person because not only did they disassemble your idea, but they destroyed your excitement. But folks, listen to me. Excitement's a great, great emotion, and there's nothing wrong with being excited. But sometimes in a moment of excitement, we can make a bad decision just because we got excited about an idea we had. And the idea wasn't a wise idea. And a lot of folks live that way. They get excited about something, and they rush out and do it. And guess what? Excitement is only going to last so long. Then they lose the excitement, and they get excited about something else, and they run into it. And they get, listen, stop chasing excitement. You know, most of the right things to do, and most of the time doing things the right way, isn't real exciting, but it works. Okay? Excitement, love, you know, I believe that's, and this is why, this is my bully pulpit, but I tell our young people, man, there's ever a time in your life when you ought to be getting a lot of counsel, it's when you're trying to make decisions concerning a mate for life. That's not the time to isolate yourself and exclude people in your life that can help you. And I'd say that to anybody and everybody, please. Enough. But listen, wisdom, let me just give you this. Wisdom is knowing when you are too emotionally attached to a situation to make a clear decision and getting someone else who is wise and unattached to help you in the making of that decision. And I'll give you one more illustration, we'll be done. If you went into a court of law, and let's say that a case was presented in a court of law, and the judge looks up, and he says, all right, the next case, and they introduce the next case, and he looks up, and here comes the people, here comes the accused, and all of a sudden he realizes that accused is a old friend or a relative. What is that judge required by law, Brother Johnny, by law to do in that case? What do they call it? Recuse themselves? I don't know if I'm saying it right or not. What it basically says is this, is, you know what? We need to get another judge in here to sit on this case because I know this person. I'm emotionally involved in this. I have a strong personal connection here. And it might affect my... Does that make sense to you? And so that judge says, get somebody else to sit in this seat. Now, the best person to help you make a right decision is somebody who's not emotionally bound in the situation. Just go to them and say, okay. Because it doesn't mean that they don't love you and care about you and love about you and care about your situation, care about your family. But they don't have the emotional ties that you have to it. And so hopefully that's going to help. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, what we've studied today and help us. Lord, it's all about, Lord, making wise decisions. Help it to become about that. Not pride. Not I did it my way. Not I followed my heart. But I made a wise decision based on Bible principles, studying the Word of God for myself, seeking out the principles. And then as I found those principles, seeking godly counsel to make sure that I was seeing things clearly. Help us, Lord, to know when to recluse ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.